Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Have your Bibles with you if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. On Sunday nights, we've been going through for some time now. We've had a little break in this as we've had other things taking place, but going through and teaching on the divisions of the Bible. It's very important that we understand why we have each one of the books of the Bible. And if you know why it's there, when you read it, you'll get more out of it. And we have 66 books of the Bible, and it's broken down in divisions, and went through the Old Testament, then we've started looking and going through the New Testament. We're going through now the Pauline epistles. That means these are the letters that God used the Apostle Paul to pen. Now, all of these written by men were inspired by God. And so it's not man's writing, it's God's writing, it's God's word. And he inspired them to write exactly what God wanted them to write. And so it is inspired or God-breathed, if you will. And so we have it. It has been preserved, but it has not been preserved by man. If it's preserved by man, then there'll be some contradictions, there'll be errors and everything else. But if it's preserved by God using man, then the God that created all things, I think that he could preserve every word exactly the way that he wants every word to be preserved. Matter of fact, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so if he would have us to live by every word, that means that we have to have it. God would have to preserve it, his word, every word, just as he wanted it preserved. For the English-speaking people, we believe that God has had his hand upon the King James Version of the Bible. As the United States of America, we look back on this great country and how it was formed, and the Bible played a huge role in forming this country. Our Constitution, our laws, and everything about it. And so God had a purpose for this great nation. And this is and has been the greatest nation ever. Amen. And God is continuing and desires to use this nation as, and he will, as for his purpose. And his purpose is religious liberties, allowing his church to take the gospel into all the world. And we've been able to do that, and we continue to do that. And so we have the Bible. And so the Pauline epistles, 14 of the letters that Paul wrote, there was prison epistles. Philippians is a prison epistle. That means that he was actually incarcerated. He was placed in prison for his testimony of Christ. And in prison, God inspired him and he was able to write letters from within the prison. And what a blessing it is when you know the background of that. Well, Philippians is a prison epistle. And Paul writes to, in the chapter 1, it reveals this to us, all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. And as he directs it to those, God has preserved it for all believers of all the church age. And that's why we have it here tonight. Well, I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to be reading verse 20 down to verse 25. Now, we can't give an exhaustive study in one service, amen, of the books of the Bible, but we've been wanting to give you an overall understanding of the book. So when you go back and read that, you will read with better understanding. And so the theme of this letter is the joy of the believer. God wants the believer to have the joy of the Lord. We can have the joy of the Lord no matter what it is that we're facing in this life. As we go through the trials and we go through the persecutions and we go through the dark nights and whatever, we're going to go through those things. But we don't go through them alone. He's never promised that we would not go through some tough situations. We will. If Christ was persecuted, they will persecute us. And that's what the Bible says. You try to live as God would have you to live, the world does not like that. Amen. And they're going to ridicule and they're going to persecute that. But never been promised that we would not be. But we've been promised that we'd never have to go through it alone. And so we have the promise of the presence of God and the joy of the believer. So Paul's writing. Now remember, Paul's in prison, you know, for the witness of Christ. And he is writing concerning the joy of the believer. All right? Chapter 1, verse 20. Because I believe the key verse in the book of Philippians is chapter 1, verse 21. But verse 20. according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And this is a key verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the holy word that you've preserved for us. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and for how you used him to pen your word that we can read and study and be blessed by today. I pray, God, that you would empower the teaching of thy word and the preaching of thy word once again. Give each and everyone here that ear to hear what you have for them to hear tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the theme of this letter is the joy of the believer. As you go through and read the book of Philippians, you're going to find that joy and rejoicing are used 16 times in just four chapters. 16 times as you read through this, you're going to see that word joy or rejoicing. And it's because that's the theme is the joy of the believer. The purpose is rejoice in the Lord always. Chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That is the, if you will, the purpose, the key verse in being able to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The key to that is found in chapter 1 and verse 21. And so two parts to the message tonight. Part 1, for to me to live is Christ. If you want the joy of the believer, you want to maintain the joy of the believer, then you have to be aware of, for to me to live is Christ. And the second part of that will be, and to die, you have to be aware of this as a believer, and to die is gain. So if we're going to be able to rejoice always, this must be, if you will, our mindset. This was the mindset of the Apostle Paul. And can I tell you, it was a mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a follower of Jesus Christ. And then he would encourage those that he would be able to influence to follow him as he would follow Christ. As you see Christ in me, follow after that, is what Paul would be trying to explain and get across to all of those that he was just trying to follow Christ. And so as he would follow Christ, for to me to live is Christ. It's all, the whole idea here is if I'm, as I live this physical life, and I live this life with heaven in view. And we preached on heaven this morning a little bit to give you a little glimpse into what it's going to be like in the visible presence of God. And so I always keep that in view. But as I keep that in view, now I'm living in the flesh. I'm living this physical life. God has a purpose for me living in this life. And as I am looking to live for him, then I can have his joy. So the first thing that we find here in chapter 1 is Paul saying, for to me to live is Christ, and I'm going to live here for others. As he understood, and Paul was one that was taken to the third abode, and that is the presence of God. That's the atmosphere of heaven, the abode of God. And Paul, the Bible records that God actually called him up. He said, whether it's in the flesh, I don't know, in the spirit, I'm not real sure. It's just what I experienced was something that I can't even talk about. It's forbidden for me to even write it, talk about it. And so Paul understood, he knew the reality of heaven. He understood what it was going to be like. And he was able to say, to die is gain. But before I focus on to die is gain, he says, I want to live the life that Christ has for me to live. Now he's in prison. He's suffering persecution because he's living for Christ. And yet he's still writing about the joy of the Lord. And still encouraging others, as he was, even in prison, to rejoice in the Lord always. And so he said, this is how I do this. I understand, he said, to die and to go to heaven, what a blessing that's going to be. I understand the glorified body. I understand everything about that. And he said, that's so much better. But he says in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in this flesh or to live this physical life and being used of God is more needful for others or for you. Whoever he's writing to, whoever's reading this. At the time, it was the church of Philippi. He said, I am going to stay around here and be used of God to be a blessing to you as long as I can. As long as God would have me to be around. And he goes on to say, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance. And as God works through me and being a help to you, joy of faith. So we find here that what Paul was saying is, I'm going to make my life all about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's really what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like. And full maturity is to become more like Christ. We set Jesus Christ as our role model. We looked at Jesus Christ as an example for us to follow after. Can I tell you, most everyone has someone that they pattern their lives after. You might have, as a young person, had a mom and dad that you loved, and as a boy, you thought, boy, I want to grow up to be just like dad. We raised girls. And so my girls didn't want to be raised just to be just like dad. They wanted to be raised to marry dad. Crystal and Shree, both of them, when I get old enough, I'm going to marry dad. Well, honey, you just don't understand that yet. You know? They wanted to be more like mom, and mom married dad, so I want to marry. And that. And I don't know if they married somebody like me or not. I won't go there. But the idea there, as growing up, we have role models, and that's just a part of our DNA, if you will. That's a part of who we are. And as we have parents, and parents should be our number one role models. Raising our children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is raising our children as if Christ was raising our children. And that's a goal. And so as we raise our children, we're giving them examples to live by. Stop telling your kids to do things and show them how to do them. Give them the example to look to. And that's how God wants every child to be raised, because he understands how he designed the human mind. And he understands how formative those early years are of the mind of that child. And it's so important that we get to them early and give them a role model that they can look to for the rest of their lives. And that's Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, throughout raising our children, they'd come and ask us, I know that they really don't know my sin nature. They just see me, you know, and so I don't want them to become just like me. I want them to know that I'm following Christ. And so when they come, I'd say, well, what does the Bible say about that? Dad, I'm asking you, well, I'm supposed to raise you according to the Word of God. And so if the Bible says you can do it, it's fine with me. If the Bible says you can't do it, listen, you can't do it. Yeah. Then I have to make sure they had an interpreter of the Bible. Amen. That's where it comes in. But the idea there is a role model, having someone that they pattern their lives after. Maybe it's mom, maybe it's dad. Too often it's sports figures. Wow. Hands down, none will bring that child the joy in their lives like following after Christ. Can I tell you that's what Jesus said? John chapter 15, look there with me. John chapter 15. As he came to give us an example for life. He established Christianity. He is a role model. The Bible says, and he told his disciples in chapter 15 of the book of John, in verse 9, he says this, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." That's a good place to start. Love others as Christ loved you and forgave you of all your sins. Amen. Died for you. He laid down his life for you. So he says, "Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that," look right here, and this is the whole book of the Paul writes. He says, "that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." So as we are looking to follow Jesus Christ as a role model, and as we're following him as a role model, we're looking to be a blessing to others. By being a blessing to others, it's going to bring joy into our lives. That's what Paul was saying. More needful for me to stay here because of your joy of the faith. Because he was able to continue to be used of God to encourage and to write and to instruct and to give an example. Look with me now, go to chapter 2 and verse 8. And again, we're just highlighting this idea of rejoicing in the Lord. So the first thing, that if we are going to rejoice in the Lord, if we're going to have the joy of the Lord, then we have to have Jesus Christ as a role model and look to him and love others and look to be a help and blessing to others as he was a help and a blessing to us. He came for others. He came to lay his life down for you and I and for all that would just simply call upon him to be their Savior. For God so loved the world. That's all humanity. That he did this for. For not just a few, but he did it for the world. He did it for all humanity. Look at chapter 2 and verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man," this is Jesus Christ, and this is who Paul patterned himself after, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Humbled himself. Had a greater purpose for life than self. Jesus said he was God manifested in flesh. And he said he had a greater purpose in life than his physical life, his self. And so while he lived in the flesh, he humbled himself and became obedient to God the Father. Had a greater purpose to life than just making money. Had a greater purpose to life than just exalting myself and having a position. Had a greater purpose in life. And that was obedience to God. Because no matter what you do for yourself, you might find temporary joy and temporary pleasure, but it's not lasting. The more money you have, you know what? The more money you want. Money will never satisfy. There have been so many that had all the money and all the prestige and yet committed suicide. It's not in money. It's not in positions. It's not in self. Had a greater purpose. He became obedient. Never stop obeying. Never stop obeying the Creator that put you on this earth, that has a purpose for your life. As you look to Him and obey His commands, it gives you a purpose for life. As you know that you're doing what God would have you to do, can I tell you, just pleasing God does something about giving me a joy in my life. The joy of the believer. Chapter 2 and verse 13. "For to me to live is Christ, That's what he's looking at. This book that he wrote, he says, this is the key. The idea for to me to live is Christ. It's the same for you and I. For to me to live as a Christian, as somebody that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe in God. I understand that there's a far greater call than my personal decisions and my personal will. Chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasures. God working in me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So, for to me to live, if I'm going to have the joy of the Lord and rejoice, I need to shine as a light in the world. Darkness takes away the believer's joy. You'll find joy as a believer when you're allowing Jesus Christ to shine through your existence. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I know that I have a purpose, and ultimately, I'm going to get the rewards that God has for me in heaven, and we don't fully understand all of them. We just know it's going to be something that you're going to desire in a glorified presence, in the presence of God in heaven for an eternity. We don't understand it all, but we know that that's what we're looking forward to. And if I shine and live the life that God wants me to live in this life, then knowing that I am serving God and shining as a light, I can have that joy and rejoicing no matter what I go through. It's when we turn away from the light and we turn to the darkness and we become part of the, just like the world, and we're living like the world does, that darkness takes away the joy of the Lord. The most miserable person in this world is not the lost man. Can I tell you, he can enjoy this life and he can enjoy the pleasures of sin, but it's only temporary. It's only during this life. He's going to die and go to a devil's hell. The most miserable person is not the believer. That's the person that has the most joy. But the most miserable person in the world is the believer trying to live like the world. Yeah. Because you know better. You have believed in Jesus Christ. He dwells within you. And the Spirit of the living God is in you, trying to get you to live like Christ. And when you turn away from living like Christ and turn to the darkness, then you have the conviction of God and the chastisement of God. And now you're turning to darkness and you're opening yourself up to the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to me. You are the most miserable person in the world. Stop it. You want the joy of the Lord? Then turn away from the darkness and turn and let the light of Christ shine through you. And as you're allowing the light of Christ to shine through you, and you have the testimony that God wants you to have, can I tell you, the joy of the Lord will return. Yeah. That's what Paul's writing about. Shine as a light in the world. For to me to live is a shine as a light. For to me to live, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in the book of the Philippians. For to me to live and have the joy of the Lord, I must press toward the mark. Look what Paul says, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I can't let the past continue to affect my future. I can't live in the past. I have to deal with the past, put it behind me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I press toward the mark, I have a goal and a purpose. And having a goal for this life and a purpose for this life brings me to the place of joy. Do you know how many people are lost? Not just spiritually lost, but are lost in the world. They have no joy because they don't have a purpose. Need a purpose. Need a plan. God gives us that purpose. God gives us that plan. Press toward it. As long as you live, press toward it. Look down in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For to me to live, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving brings into my life joy by the way of peace and a sound mind. I live my life and following after Christ, and He's given me a tool to be able to communicate with Him. How many of you have friends that you like to just get on the cell phone with and communicate with? It does something to you. When you're talking to somebody that you really like, especially if it's somebody that you're dating, there's a sense of joy when you see that ID come up and it's that person. I want to answer that. And there's a sense of joy that he or she, hopefully it's a he, called me. Amen. If you're a she, it's a he anyway. Girls ought to be careful in calling guys too. Now, that's the idea there is communicating. I want to communicate, and God has given us a way that we can communicate with Him. And when I understand that, no matter what I'm going through, that I can turn to God and I can pray with thanksgiving, making my request known, it's going to do something for me when I am communicating with God. It's going to bring me a sense of joy and rejoicing. That's what Paul's saying. And that's a life for to me to live. He's taking in this. Chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you have faith to believe that, as you meet the qualifications for that, the qualifications is being a giver, given to missions, being involved in worldwide missions, because this church had been giving and supporting Paul in his missionary journey. And because of that, God said to him, write this to them, because of what you've been doing and you're giving your concern for worldwide missions and your support of me, you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Live with these promises in view, knowing that I can get through this, no matter what it is that I have to face, knowing I can do what God wants me to do, will bring joy. It's when I can't do something, it frustrates me. It sometimes angers me. But when I can do, and I know I can do, it brings joy. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When we live with these promises, I can do all things and God can supply all things. If I believe that and I know that to be true and I'm meeting the qualifications to claim those promises, when I claim those promises by faith, it causes me to have joy. So Paul says, the theme is the joy of the believer. The key verse, you're going to have joy, for to me to live is Christ. And the second part of that, very briefly, and to die is gain. Live life knowing when I die, it's gain. To be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. Can I tell you, no one ought to want to die, but no believer ought to fear death. Because if you truly understand where you're going and what has been prepared for you and understand all that God has laid up in store for you, listen to me, when you truly understand that, even the thought of dying brings to us joy. Paul would even say, and really when I think about that, I would desire to go to heaven and to enjoy the blessings of heaven. I desire to be with Christ. But not above, first of all, accomplishing what He has me here to do. So until God calls me home, I've not accomplished it. And so as long as God leaves me here, I'm going to live for Christ. Knowing at any moment, if He was to call me home, that's gain. That mindset will bring to you joy. It'll cause you to be able to rejoice. Philippians chapter 3, and we're done here, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. While I'm here, I'm conversing with the God of heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the promise that He made to us was, I will come again. Yeah. Who shall change our vile bodies? Yeah, no matter how much you tried to doctor your body up, the Bible says it's a vile. It's dying. Amen. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. This vile body is going to be changed into a glorified body. Don't have to put makeup on. Amen. Don't have to try to doctor it up to make it look better than what it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it was Dr. Rice that said, every old barn needs a new paint job every now and then. So I better get on back. Let me get back here. I've already got myself in trouble now. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself? How can I think and rejoice over death? One last passage, this is it. First Corinthians chapter 15, God gives us this thought. Something that we're listening for. Something that we know is coming, and I'm going to continue to live for Christ until I hear it, and when I hear it, I'm going to look up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it could happen like that before we even get out of the service tonight. It could take place any moment. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Believer, you'll hear it. And when you hear it, look up. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so even facing death for the believer, there's joy. The joy of the believer is what the book of Philippians is all about. If I could have every head bowed. The joy of the believer. Oh, to have that joy. You can have it if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you believe the Bible, you can have it. No matter what you're facing, you can have the joy of the Lord. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this book of the Bible, this book of Philippians, as we've studied it tonight and just briefly went through, gave a understanding, a glimpse of what you have it for here for us. And I just pray, God, that we would grasp this and that we would desire to learn more, that we would understand about the joy of the Lord. And I pray, God, there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight would be that time when they'd get saved and leave this place looking and expecting and living with the joy. Now work in our midst here, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.